Well, good morning and welcome to our worship here in St. Paul's. There is one intimation as we begin. Elders are reminded that communion cards and duties are available for uplift at the back of the church. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. The sheep of his sanctuary. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so let us praise the name of the Lord as we sing together in our opening hymn, hymn number 111. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So let us come together before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Heavenly Father, we come that we might praise your name, and we ask that you would stir us up and fill us with your joy. Help us to be mindful, gracious Father, of all your many benefits, of all the blessings that we receive day by day. And help us, Heavenly Father, in the presence of your people, to be drawn together in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, it is a wonderful thing to us that in your mercy and in your grace you have drawn us to yourself, we who did not know you and who did not love you, who did not care for the things of God. And yet in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you set your love upon us, and in your great grace you drew us near to the Lord Jesus Christ, to him who is our great Savior and Redeemer, that we might find in him newness of life, and that through him we might be able to draw near to you. Father, bless us in our worship this morning. Help us to understand and help us to receive. Help us, Heavenly Father, to forgive and to know your love. Help us, Heavenly Father, that we might be indeed the people of God, your special possession, a people belonging to the everlasting Father. And gracious Lord, we ask your blessing on all who gather this morning for worship in places very different from our own. We think of those who gather in refugee camps. We think of those who gather under the shadow of persecution. We think of those who gather in great cathedrals and in little country churches. We think of those who meet in open fields. And gracious Father, we thank you that we have become part of that worldwide fellowship, that we who here in St. Paul's belong to one another, belong also to them, the great family, the family of the living God. So, Lord, be with us this morning. Give joy to our praise. Give understanding to our thinking. And speak to us out of your word. For we ask all of these things in the name of him who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And grant us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's good to see you all here this morning. I've got a question for you, and it's this. What is the most important thing you have in your house? Now, don't mention family, don't mention mum or dad or brothers and sisters or dogs and cats or hamsters. Just nothing living. Nothing living. But what is the most important thing that you have in your house? It's something you simply cannot do without. Yes. Sorry?
Nintendo Switch.
Oh, a Nintendo. Oh my goodness me. Your violin.
Money.
Money. Did you hear that, those who belong to him? He's wanting more, aren't you? The thing is, you could do without all of these things. You could manage without your Nintendo, and you could manage without money. Oh, you could manage without... I want you to think about something that you simply cannot do without.
Water.
Water, that's a good one. That's a good one. But you could just drink lemonade. Yes. Sorry.
Food.
That is... very important and very special, and you cannot do without food, but you could always go to your grandpa's and get something to eat.
Bed.
Your bed. Oh, I couldn't do without my bed. Well, yes, I could. Yes, I could. All of these things are... Oh! A house? Yes. Yes, that's a good answer. But it's something that you need in your house. Something you simply cannot do without, and yet something that you give hardly any attention to at all. You could not do without it. And it is... air. Have you ever thought how wonderful it is that your house is full of air? And if there was no air in your house, you would not be able to breathe, and you would not be able to do anything else, and you would not have any fun whatsoever. And yet we never think about it. How wonderful it is to have homes that are full of air. So I want you, when you go home this morning, to walk into your house and think, oh, isn't it splendid? I'm living in a house that is full of air. Because air makes everything else possible. It makes it possible for us to live in a house. It makes us possible to do everything that we do in our house. And it just is wonderful. One of the wonderful things about air is that it's such good fun. So we're going to take some air and fill this balloon with air. My face isn't usually this colour. Once it doesn't burst. Have I ever shown you this before? Did somebody say yes?
No.
No? Then it's going to be very, very exciting. Hello.
You've lost something.
It's the story of my life. There's always bits falling off. That looks okay. Oh! Obviously, the bit that fell off isn't on right. That's about it. Right, we'll try again. It's always a bit of a footer trying to get it on. It's actually very easy to do this, but if you take your time, it builds up the tension. Better if you use a big balloon, but then it might have smashed into the lights up there, which would not have been good. Air is a wonderful thing, and it makes it possible to do everything that you want to do. It makes it possible for you to live, and it makes it possible to share things with other people. And it is great fun. All the fun things you can do with air. And maybe next week we'll look at another fun thing that you can do with air. And for next week, I will practice. But we take it for granted. We never ever walk into our house and say, isn't it beautiful? It's filled with air. We just take it for granted. And God is someone that we just take for granted. We live from day to day, and we do not often think about God. And yet, God makes it possible for us to do everything that we do. God gives us a life to live, and He makes everything possible. And God can be great fun. When you come to know God, it's exciting, and it's fun, and it is great joy. So I want you today, when you go home and walk into your house, to give thanks because it's filled with air. But I also want you to remember and give thanks for the fact that it is filled with the presence of God. For you are His child, and where you are, He will be. Thank you. And now we are going to sing together number 550, As the Deer Pants for the Water. So then, Revelation chapter 5 and reading from verse 6, and that is on page 1237 in the Pew Bible. It's part of the vision that John sees. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Amen. May God bless his word to us. And we sing again in hymn 596, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew." Some of you may just be old enough to remember when television was in black and white. And I had two favourite programmes that I used to watch in our little 12-inch television. One was Rawhide, with a very young Clint Eastwood. And the other one was Jack Cousteau, in the Voyages of the Calypso. Do you all remember Jack Cousteau? For those who don't, he was an underwater explorer, and he plunged into the depths of the sea to see all these gloriously coloured fish that we saw only in black and white. But it was a highlight of my week, and I was quite sad when he died at the age of, I think it was 86. The spokesman who announced his death said simply, "Cousteau has returned to the world of silence." Perhaps he thought that was a softer and gentler way of saying simply that Cousteau had died. But Cousteau has returned to the world of silence. I don't think that is at all soft and gentle. To think of what is to come as a world of silence, no longer to hear great music of the rustling of the trees and the breeze, no longer to hear my children's laughter. Where would the comfort be in that? Man is a listening creature. His very being is a response to the word of God. And God said, let us make man in our image. And God continued to speak to the man and the woman that he had made in command and in promise and in his gracious call to communion and fellowship with him. That is what distinguished man from the rest of creation. Only man was created to listen and to hear his gracious call to communion and fellowship with him. And it is in the hearing of God's voice and in the receiving of that word that man becomes fully man. He rises to the fullness of his being as created in the image of God in the hearing and in the understanding of God's word. So let's be clear as we come to this passage that heaven is not silent. Heaven is noisy. And you hear echoes of that noise in the Old Testament. In the book of Job, God is speaking about his work of creation, and he says, where were you when I laid the foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it. On what were its foundations set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. And you can hear echoes of the noises of heaven in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6, when Isaiah goes into the temple in the year that King Uzziah died, and he saw the Lord high and exalted and seated on a throne. And above him were the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. Clearly the seraphim were not whispering in the temple. And you get an echo of how noisy heaven is in the opening chapters of the Gospel of Luke, on that special night when the praise of heaven spills over into a Judean pasture. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Throughout the Bible you hear echoes of the noise of heaven, but there is no book in the Bible noisier than the book of Revelation. The verses we read earlier, there is a series of concentric circles which center upon the throne of God. And as you move out through those concentric circles, it becomes noisier and noisier. There is thunder and lightning and blazing torches around the throne. And then there are the elders who give praises to God and the four living creatures. And then the people of God. And then angels numbering thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands. and every creature on earth and under the earth and in the sea, in ever-widening circles of limitless view, and from every point on every circle, a radius of praise towards the center, and at the center, by his Father's throne, is Jesus Christ. Every living thing in that heavenly realm is focused upon Jesus. And all these circles of praise come to him. Heaven is noisy. And it is because of who God is. Why all this noise? Why all this praise? Why the great chorus? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Why all this noise? Because all who dwell in heaven are simply filled with the wonder and the glory that is the triune God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why is the word holy repeated? Well, it's all about the language, and it's all about the Hebrew language, and the Hebrew language was short on superlatives. And if you wanted to emphasize something, you simply repeated it. So when Jesus is teaching, and he wants people to know that his word is true, and he wants to emphasize that, he doesn't simply say, "Truly I say to you." He says, "Truly, truly I say to you." And occasionally, if you want to emphasize something right off the charts, absolutely, you repeat it again. So when Isaiah hears the angels saying, "Holy, holy, holy," Isaiah understands that this one upon the throne has a holiness that is off the charts. It is beyond all else. It is absolute. He is the thrice holy one. And nothing can be compared with his holiness. And it is before that holiness that all things fall in praise and in worship. Why is heaven noisy? Because such is the splendor and the holiness of him who sits upon the throne, that everything that dwells in heaven cannot restrain their joyful praise. Well, perhaps I shouldn't say heaven is noisy. That's maybe not the best word. You would never say that the music of Bach was noisy. I was listening to Bach last night as I took a break from preparing, and I was listening to "Behold the Lamb." Ah, and it was glorious. And I thought, that's it. If we can take Bach's orchestra and Bach's choir and multiply it by tens of thousands, by tens of thousands, and more tens of thousands, and fill the earth. That would be it. Behold the Lamb. These verses in Revelation are reminiscent of Isaiah 6. Remember, we noted that Isaiah 6 contains the words, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And in Isaiah's vision, above the throne, there are flying seraphims who hide their faces and their feet when they cry, "Holy, holy, holy," because such is the splendor of God. And Isaiah's response is not worship, and it's not praise, it's not delight in the beauty of it all. His response is a response of absolute terror. "I am ruined," he says. "I'm undone." It's as if his whole being is beginning to unravel before the holiness of God. And an angel has to come with burning coals and cleanse him from the sin of his mouth. Isaiah's problem was that of sinful men and women. And it was just to show how sinful men and women look upon the thrice holy God. How can sinful men and women come into the presence of His holiness and just wonder at the splendor and luxuriate in the glory and be filled with wonder? It's not possible. Heaven is noisy because it is filled with the wonder of who God is. But it's also noisy because of what Jesus Christ has done. In the passage we read, when it speaks of the throne, it speaks of the Lamb that stands in the center of the throne. The Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, who by His death upon the cross atones for the sins of God's people. And gathers them to Himself and brings them into the presence of God. And by His death on the cross, we are brought into that place where the seraphim and the cherubim and the living creatures fall before Him. We are brought into that place. We become part of those concentric circles of praise. We become the redeemed people of God who sing a new song. Song the angels have never heard before. You know how in our churches we don't like new hymn books? We like the old stuff. We like the songs we knew. Well, here's Mission Praise in Heaven. It's a new song. It's a new song. All these ages of worship and praise and glory, and we will sing a new song. And the living creatures and the seraphim and the cherubim will be stilled and filled with awe. The words we sing, because we will be singing about the Lamb who was slain and who redeemed us by his blood. To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Heaven is noisy because of the response of creation to the glory of the vision of God. But it's also noisy because it responds to the glory of the Lamb that was slain. Noisy because of the wonder of who God is. Noisy because of what Jesus Christ has done. And he brings us into that place, and we sing the new song, and our praise is added to all the creatures who dwell in heaven. Our praise is added. What does our redemption mean? What does it mean for us sitting here this morning that we are Christians? How do we think about our Christian life? Why it matters and what difference it makes? Perhaps one of the central things in our thinking ought to be the glorious hope that one day we will see the splendor of the glory of the Lamb. The seraphim veiled their faces before the throne of God. But you and I, with unveiled faces, will see his glory. In the book of Job, it says this: I know that my Redeemer lives, and then that in the end he will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I, and not another. And how my heart yearns within me. Well, I grow older every day. I used to say, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to stay the way I have always been. There comes a point when you can't ignore it. When your children remind you of where things are and what you did yesterday. And when your wife looks at you with that sad face that says, he's losing it. And when your son comes over from Israel for a holiday, and he's the one that tiles the kitchen, and he's the one that digs the garden, because of course I'm no longer able to do anything. It's difficult. And we know where it's all leading. Or do we? There is something that we should learn from Job. We dread what is coming as we grow older. But listen to that word from Job again. I will see God. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, and I will see him with my own eyes, and how my heart yearns within me. Isn't it sad that so many people think about the afterlife as less a world of silence? Less real, less solid, less colourful, less sensual, less everything. A world of shades and shadows, white billowy clouds and insubstantial spirits. But the Bible never speaks of heaven as less. Heaven is always more real, more solid, more colourful, more sensual, more everything. And it is not silent. It is noisy with the praise of all the heavenly creatures and with all of those who in Christ have been born again. So, next Sunday when you come to church, you settle down to sing the hymns, think of it as a rehearsal. There's one day, those of you who have given yourself to Christ will sing in the great choir. And we want our voices to be in good shape. Amen. May God bless His word to us. And we are going to sing again in hymn 596. Going to sing again, and I told you I'm forgetting it all the time, losing it. Hymn 93, Come Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs. With angels round the throne, 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our thanksgiving. We thank you, gracious Father, that each new day brings new grace. And we thank you that in our troubles, we know the touch of our Saviour's hand. And in our care for others, you give us His love. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that when we are troubled, and we are troubled so often by so many things, you shed over us the peace of your Spirit. Father, we thank you for all of the good gifts that you give to us, and we thank you for the place in which we live, for its security and for its peace. We thank you for our homes, for their warmth and their comfort. And we thank you for our family and for our friends and for the fellowship of this people, so that we are never alone, but we are always surrounded with love. And gracious Father, we thank you that you have been with us through all the years of our life. You have brought us through all of our days. And you have brought us to this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been with us in all these days. And give us the faith and the confidence and the trust and the hope to know that you will be with us in all the days that are to come. Father, we do not know what tomorrow will bring, of joy or of sadness, of thanksgiving or of disappointment. But we do know this, that the God of our days is the God that will be with us in all our tomorrows until that great day that will know no end. So, Father, strengthen us in our hope, renew us in our faith, assure us in our perplexity. And Heavenly Father, as we bring you our thanksgiving, we bring you these, our offerings, and we pray that you will receive them and bless them and use them for the glory of your name and the furtherance of Christ's kingdom. And as we offer these things, So we offer our prayers for those who are troubled, for those who are hungry, for those who are destitute and suffer persecution, for all of those who fear the new day and what it will bring, for those whose hearts break because they cannot feed or save or protect their children. And Father, we bring before you your people, persecuted in so many places. And we ask, gracious Father, that you will speed the day when Christ will come. And there will be no more crying or pain. Until that day, Heavenly Father, help us, even as we intercede, to serve and to help, and to show the love of Christ where we can and as we are able. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing together hymn number 466. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. I just remind elders that communion cards and duties are available for uplift at the back of the church. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God his Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forevermore.